the Lord made me whole. Has been the old story so blessed of Jesus to save whosoever.
Amen. And he's already in there. He's already in heaven, and we're anchored to him. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Great job. Amen. My wife said to me, you know, this kind of singing makes church much more worth it. Amen. To come to. And singing good hymns ought to do something to stir our hearts. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible tonight, would you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I just want to take a moment to reiterate what we talked about in Sunday school this morning and try to pick up from there and see where we go from that point. My prayer is I come with a message. In fact, I come with usually a pretty big message. And sometimes my intention is to get through a message in one service, but it usually spills over, and that's fine. Amen. I pray often that the Lord would help me as I teach and preach the word to know where to highlight. You know, some of you have highlighters and use highlighters, right? And when you read something and the highlight is, you know, that really spoke to me. And, you know, when I'm preaching the word, you know, sometimes you just, you want the Lord to show up, no doubt about it. And I want the Spirit of God to highlight where to stop and where to focus. Amen. And some people will say to the preacher, park it right there. Amen. Because, you know, and that's what we want. Amen. And I also pray that, you know, as people listen to the word, you need the Holy Spirit to highlight for you what was for you in that message. Amen. And that's one of the wonderful things. If we can leave the house of the Lord knowing the Spirit of God highlighted something for us, we can leave saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Second Timothy chapter number 2. This morning we started a topic on the Word of God. And nothing better than talking about the Word of God in the house of God. Amen. But we really focused on starting this series, if you will, on focusing on our responsibilities as Christians, as believers. Our responsibilities concerning the Word of God. Amen. And the first thing we focused on this morning, point number one, was we are responsible to study the Bible, to study the Word of God. Amen. To study God's Word. And we note, and I mentioned it this morning in the context, Paul speaking to Timothy as a pastor, as a leader. Boy, if there's anybody needs to get in the book, it's the man of God. Amen. Because he's dishing it out. Amen. But I believe by way of application, we all got to get into the book. Amen. I think it's important because we want to make sure that, like the Bereans, we want to make sure that what we're hearing, that we can see it in the book ourselves. In fact, I think that just solidifies in our heart what the preacher's saying. And I'll be honest with you, I know preachers would love nothing more than people confirming what they're hearing, because that's just double assurance that people are getting it. Amen. Hey, I'd rather have people, you know, looking and making sure that what they're hearing is right rather than, well, you know, just take it or leave it. Amen. And so it's very important. And then this morning, what we focused on was, if we are responsible to study the Bible, the whole purpose of studying the Bible is to understand it. Amen. We're trying to understand. I mentioned earlier, reading the Bible, we can see what God said. Studying the Bible, we can understand what God meant. Amen. And so this morning, we talked about some of the keys to understanding the Bible, which is the purpose of studying it. And one of those keys is, number one, being saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to understand the Bible. Amen. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, the Bible says that the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. You and I need the Holy Spirit in order to understand the Holy Word. In fact, he's the one that wrote it. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I know sometimes people say, boy, if I can only understand what Paul meant here, if I can only understand what Peter or Jeremiah, and really, if I can only understand what the Holy Spirit means, amen, to speak to me. And so we talked about, number one, we need to be saved, number one. Number two, if we are saved, we got to make sure we're being spiritual. Amen. And we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul in verse number 1 to 4, he says, listen to the Corinthians. He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I had to give you milk. I wanted to give you some real meat, some good understanding. He said, but you're carnal. He said, and here's why you're carnal. You got strife with one another. You got division. You're saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And you just got these things going on. You're not, as a Christian, not right with the Lord, are going to have a hard time understanding the book. Amen. In fact, I mentioned earlier this morning, being spiritual is basically this, being spirit-filled. That's what being spiritual, being spirit-filled. And what does that mean? Just simply being right with the Lord. Not allowing anything in my Christian life to hinder the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We know the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the illuminator, amen. He's the one that will show us all truth, amen. He's the one, if you will, in 1 John, we talked about it. He's the unction, amen, that you and I have, and that we know all things because of that. We have an opportunity to discern what the Word of God is saying, amen. And but we also got to make sure that we don't quench him and we don't grieve him, amen. We got to be careful that we're living in such a way so as the Spirit of God, as the teacher, can do his job in our lives, amen. In fact, we looked at, I'll mention this, we looked at Proverbs 1:23 this morning, where it says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Amen. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, from that text, I'm not saying that you and I have the Holy Spirit. He leaves us and comes and goes like he did in the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit permanently. But the fact of the matter is, I see in that verse a simple message, turn and learn. Amen. And by the way, reproof is usually we're doing something wrong, God speaking to us to get things right. And by being right, we can be spirit filled. By being spirit filled, the Spirit of God can teach us the things that he wants to teach us. Amen. And so we talked about this morning, being saved is number one key. Being spiritual is number two key. And then number three, we put down, or C, if you will, being saturated. You and I will never understand the Bible if it's not even in us. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You and I need a good dose of the Word of God. Amen. In fact, That's exactly how we're going to understand the Word of God, by having it in us, amen, doing something in us. But by the way, you and I are the ones that are responsible to get it in our hearts, amen, to get in our lives, if you will. In fact, we talked about this morning, that being saturated, by the way, let me just say this. Remember I said being spiritual is being Spirit-filled? Being saturated is being Scripture-filled. Amen. And so that's what we need to be, no doubt about it. You know, I was mentioning earlier, I said, I can't afford to have a christening in my devotional time. A christening meaning somebody just dipping a little bit. Here's just a little bit of water, a sprinkle. That's not going to help me. I need a baptism. Right. What does that mean? I need to get into it. Amen. I need to be immersed into the book. Amen. If there's any hope of me getting hold of it, I need to get in there. Now listen, we mentioned earlier, being saturated, the two things we need to do is we need to read the Bible. Just simply read the Bible. Just simply read it and keep on reading it. Amen? If you continue in my word, Jesus said in John 8:30-32, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And so that continue is one of the important things. Just stay at it. Stay at it. You're not going to know it right away. You're not going to know everything. Just stay at it. Amen. Now, we also mentioned this. Not only is reading a wonderful, wonderful thing. And by the way, just simply reading it, Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words give light. They give understanding unto the simple. What does the Bible say in Psalm 19, verse number 8? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So if we get into the book just simply reading it, I know we're going to get understanding. But here was one thing we really focused on this morning, and I'm going to focus a little bit right now. The second thing that I think we need to do, and I want you to turn with me here, if you would, please. Turn to Psalm 119, please. 119. We're going to look at something. By the way, if there's a chapter in the Bible that focuses big time on the Word of God, it's Psalm 119. Amen? It's a great chapter. Boy, it talks about this man's love for the book and all that the book is, all that the book does, and our responsibilities, if you will, to that. But Psalm 119, I want you to see something. In Psalm 119, I want you to look at verse number 99. Now listen, I believe that reading the Word of God will get understanding, no doubt about it. But here's something we need to do that I think will give us more understanding. And this is, I think, a lost art in this day and age. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 99. Notice what it says. The Bible says, I have more understanding. That's what I want. More. I don't just want basic understanding. I want more understanding. Amen. In fact, I was contemplating asking Brother Jason to sing again that old song I sang for me before, More About Jesus. Amen. Which has some great stanzas in there about getting into the Word and having the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and so on. Amen. But I'm glad I didn't, because they had did a great job together tonight. Amen. But anyway, listen, I want more understanding. Reading the Word of God's great. I get some understanding, but I need more understanding. We need more understanding. You know, if people find it hard to just simply read the Bible to get understanding, this next step is the extra mile. Look at the rest of the verse, Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my what? Meditation. There it is. Reading the Bible, we get understanding. Meditation, we get more understanding. And I believe with all my heart, and I've been to some different churches, and I'll tell you what, you know, if people just get into the book, be wonderful, let alone getting into it in the sense of meditating on it, amen? I mean, some people are just happy that people are reading the Word of God, and you're going to get some understanding, but man, we need to go the extra mile, and we need to actually think about what we're reading. We really do. And that is the key. And we talked about that this morning in a big way. We need to meditate on the book. And so here's what happened. As I was developing this message, I mentioned this earlier, so some things you're hearing as a repeat for a moment. But as I mentioned earlier, yesterday, as I was working on this portion of it, the thought of this meditation came up. One of the keys of really getting the book and getting it in is to meditate on it. And so what I did, I spent some meditation time on meditation. I think that's a great thing to do. If I'm going to start meditating on other things, first thing I want to do, meditate on meditation. I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. I'm talking about transformational meditation. I made that one up, figured out yesterday. But anyway, don't ask me how to spell it neither. But here's what happened. As I'm looking at this, and I was leery about whether I should get into it, but I think I'm just going to do that tonight. Oh, this morning, it was just what everything I just went over, it's not what you're going to hear at most churches. Most churches, they want to make people happy. That's it. Get up, do like a half hour wonderful story about, you know, putting your best foot forward and, you know, you're everything God wants you to be and whatever. But really, we need to be challenged, but we also need to be instructed. How can I be a better Christian? You know, a sermon can help make you a better Christian, no doubt about it. But if we take information and then go ahead and do it, I think we'll be the best Christians. Amen? And so this is what we really need to do. So I'm just going to focus on this. Meditation is the key to understanding. And here's the thing. Meditation involves four things, and I want to focus on this tonight. Would you turn with me for a moment to turn to Genesis chapter number 24, please. Genesis chapter 24. We're going to do a little walking through the scriptures. Amen? So get your fingers ready. Amen? They're going to lose some weight tonight. Amen? We'll burn some calories on the fingers. Amen? Then you can take care of them later and feed them. Amen? There's plenty of finger food. Can I get a witness on that one? I just had to figure that one out. But Genesis chapter 24. As I meditated on meditation, here's some instruction. Now, basically what I did was I just did a word study. Just look up the word meditate, meditation, and try to figure out. You know what's coming, right? The coach got to go. Once we start warming up a little bit, and I have my wife here, thank the Lord, who actually says, don't throw it on the ground, hand it to me. And so anyway, look at Genesis 24, verse number 63, Psalm 24, verse number 63. The first thing I want to say about meditation, here it is. Number one, here's what we need, isolation. The first key to meditation involves, listen, isolation. Now look with me in Genesis 24, verse number 63. Notice what it says. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Now that something would just pass right over. But obviously this man wanted to go somewhere, I believe, where he would have some isolation. Amen? Isolation. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And I want you to look with me in verse number 6, Psalm 63 and verse number 6, if you will. Psalm 63 and verse number 6. And I actually was thinking about this as the preacher preached this morning. In fact, thank the Lord, it's good to see the preacher tonight. And this morning, we heard him in the morning service, and that was wonderful. We thank the Lord for that. But as he was preaching, what is he was preaching, and how that message, where it developed from, to me, it developed from a time of meditation. Of isolation. No place to be isolated in a hospital, right? 4 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. But I want you to look at this verse, Psalm 63. Look at verse number 6. When I remember thee upon my bed. Now watch what he says. And meditate on thee in the night watches. Let me just say this. And you'll note at the top of your chapter 63, it says a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. David was in a very tough situation, driven, I believe, by his son Absalom from the throne, from the city. And he was in the wilderness, and often the wilderness is a picture of just a tough situation, a tough time. In fact, sometimes it's those tough times that isolate you. It makes you actually put you with you and the Lord alone, amen? And it gives you opportunity to meditate and to think, if you will. Look with me again, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm just saying, listen, meditation really begins with isolation. Isolation, what does that mean? If you could put it this way, separation, amen? Separating from the things that distract us. Jesus, the Bible says, when it came to prayer in Mark 1:35, I think it is, it says he rose up a great while before day, and he went to a solitary place. And there prayed. Remember in Matthew chapter number 6, he encouraged the disciples, hey, when you pray, get in the closet. Amen. Get in. By the way, that's not necessarily literally your closet at home. Amen. Get in a quiet place where you can speak to the Father. Amen. And the Father will hear you. We live in a day and an age where we have interruptions everywhere. We were talking about the blessedness of cell phones. And it's a blessing that, thank God, we can call anybody anytime. But the thing is, they can call you anytime. And I'm going to tell you something. We actually need to get to a place where we have to shut the phone off. Some of the hardest things to do when you're trying to keep up with Facebook. Yeah. Can I get away? I'm doing this, but usually it's this way, isn't it? I said, by the way, I said this, we need to stop doing this and start doing more of this. But you understand what I'm saying? Some people are so busy with everybody else's business, they have no time for God's business. We are in a very distracted society. Always something going on, and thanks to cell phones, you're never alone. And they know you're not alone. They know you should have access to you anytime, anywhere. We have to get to that place. Listen, I believe overcoming physical distractions is the first part. Then when you get physically alone, you got to overcome the mental distractions. What's that? What I got to do. I got to do this. Can I get a witness? I mean, you got to go through several stages before you finally get to, I'm just actually going to focus on the Lord. We started a church in Philadelphia. We bought an old abandoned building to renovate when we first started. And I did a mistake. I started praying in one of the rooms that we were working on. And I like to pray with my eyes open. Because if I pray with my eyes closed, I'm going to lose prayer and I'm going to be sleeping. So, you know, I pray with my eyes open and I'll walk. I'll walk around. And I notice I'm walking around in the room that needs work. And I'm walking around and I'm doing a lot of the work. So I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm thinking, man, I got to paint that right there. We got to get sheetrock on that. I actually had to say, stop. Go to a room that's already done. Don't need this. Can I get a witness? I'm just saying we need to overcome so many distractions to get where we need to go. Look at first. Oh, man, I'm at Luke. I keep stopping. If I didn't preach so much, I wouldn't stop in the middle of where I'm supposed to go. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm just saying we need to be encouraged in this respect. We really do. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 15. By the way, Timothy was told by Paul, again, he's a minister. Boy, if there's anybody who needs to focus on the book and on his ministry, it's this man. And here's what Paul says to him. Look at verse number 15. Meditate upon these things. And one of those things is the word of God and not neglecting the spirit and focusing on his ministry. Meditate upon these things. But here's what I want you to see, what meditation is. Give thyself wholly to them. Completely. I put down this, the thought of holy, undistracted, undisturbed. Now, I don't know if I could ever get to a place where I'm not disturbed. Can I get a witness on that? But listen, we need to be able to separate from everything. Some of the hardest things to do is to separate. But pray, dear God, I don't want to think about this. Speak to the Lord, seek the Lord. I need to get a place where I can focus. That's where the isolation comes from. Now turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. See, you can't fall asleep on this message because we're going to too many scriptures. Amen. The only one that's allowed to sleep is Lydia. Amen. And I will say she slept sound through her first message from Papa. Amen. Psalm 19, if you would. She was wide awake for me. She was saying amen, everything. I said, can I get a witness? I seen a little hand coming out. Actually, it's not a little hand. It's a big hand coming out of that. She's got Jason's hand, I'll tell you that. But anyway, look at Psalm 19. Now listen, it is true, isn't it? Meditation begins with isolation. By the way, the world even knows this. The world even knows this. That's why they have rooms for this transcendental meditation, all these other things that, you know, they're called the breathing room and other things. They know they need a solitary place. I mean, amen. Watch this now. No matter where the isolation is, and now be honest with you, some people have a hard time really finding that place, but do the best you can. Do the best you can. But here's the most isolated place that needs to be. Look at Psalm 19:14. The Bible says this in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, now get this, the meditation of what? My heart. I might not be able to find the most perfect physical place, but the greatest meditation that's going to take place is going to have to take place in a heart, at least a heart that's isolated, not divided, isolated, focused on the things of the Lord. Amen. That might, listen, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And when people, Christians, don't take it to heart, nothing's going to happen. The whole thought of meditation is getting the Word of God digested to the point that it becomes a part of me. It's my health. It's my nutrition. The cow ruminates, right? I don't know much about cows. I'm from the city. Amen. Closest I can think about cows is cowboys. But nonetheless, cows, from what I understand, they have one big stomach, but it got four different departments. And they chew, and then it goes into one part, and then they actually bring it back up. Chew it again. What are they doing? They're making it very, very fine, so when it goes in, the finer, the more that they can absorb it, and their health and their life depends on that process of digestion. The spiritual health and life of every Christian depends on your digestion of the Word of God. Listen, I'm not medically inclined at all, but I did read this. When you chew your food real good, it's more nutritious for your body. The smaller it is, the finer it is, the more nutrition your body will get from it. That's why a lot of people juice. Because the juicer, the mixer, can really break it up to make it real small. So when you take it in, your body can absorb much of it and you get more strength. We need to think on the Word of God and rethink on the Word of God, amen, till it becomes a part of us. Amen. Number one, meditation involves isolation. Let me give you a second thought. And again, I'm not going to be able to get into all of it, but I will touch on much of it. Isolation. Now, here's the second thing. Concentration. By the way, the purpose of isolation is concentration. I'm trying to get away from everything that distracts me so I can concentrate on what really matters at that particular time. By the way, here's what the Bible says we need to concentrate on, meditate on. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it. You and I need to make his word the primary focus of our concentration. Amen? We really do. Psalm 1, verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. There are scriptures in Psalm 119. Are we in Psalm? Go to Psalm 119 because there's so much in there. I just want to touch on some things. The Word of God needs to be our primary focus, our primary concentration on what we're meditating on. Psalm 119, if you would, please. We'll just touch a few verses because they're all right in this chapter. Psalm 119, look at verse number 15, just part number A. Psalm 119, verse 15, part A. 119, let's see here, 15, I got to find this. And part number A says this, I will meditate, what? In thy precepts. Look at verse number 23 of the same chapter. Verse number 23 says this, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And verse number, I'm not going to go there, but verse number 97, verse number 99, verse number 148, all of these say we need to meditate and concentrate on the Word of God. Here's another thing. In Psalm 63, here's what it says. Turn there, if you would, for a moment. Psalm 63. We're in the neighborhood. We're in the Psalms. This is what we need to concentrate on. We need to concentrate on the Bible. We need to concentrate on the Bible. And let me tell you something. False religions take away people's concentration on the book. And they substitute other books for them to concentrate on. The witness is, here's the watchtower. Here's the watchtower. Here's the watchtower. All that reading is keeping you from the book. I remember reading a book from a man who wrote a book and he had sent it to Chick Publication. He was a Jehovah's Witness who got saved. He was a leader in the Jehovah. He would speak to thousands of witnesses at his conferences. And he gives a testimony in this book of how he got saved. And here's how he got saved. He was going into one of those conferences and there were protesters, like there all often are Christians, like kind of protesting and handing out literature. He said he looked over and he saw one sign that got his attention and really provoked and challenged him. It said, read the Bible more than the watchtower. And here's what this man did. He actually looked at that and thought to himself, that's true. I don't read the Bible. I'm reading the watchtowers that they keep on pumping out. So he decided to read the Bible. He got saved. You understand? Oh, how the devil works, doesn't he? Keep us from concentrating. By the way, I don't think there's any consecration without concentration. Don't say it. Amen. Look at Psalm 63, if you would, verse number 6. I think this was the verse we just read, actually. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on what? Thee. Our concentration needs to be on this book, and our concentration needs to be on God. By the way, you can't concentrate on him without this book, because it's by this book that we get to know him. If you're not in the book, you're not going to get to know him. Amen. In fact, listen to this. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. Psalm 104:34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. You and I need to concentrate on the word of God. Why? That's going to help us to concentrate on him. And what is concentrating on him going to do? Let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to help us to get through this life better. You say, how do you know that, Brother Matt? Because I read Hebrews 11. I read that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. You ever see those little things that have these blocks and squares and you really can't see Jesus until you really concentrate? Anybody ever see them? Little thing. I mean, somebody had it in the back of their truck one day, and I'm riding down. They got this little block, and it just looks like, you know, Chinese writing or something. And then the more you concentrate, you can see Jesus. But you got to concentrate to see him. Amen. We, according to the Bible, our concentration needs to be on God's word and on God. And then here's another one. We're in Psalm 60. Look at Psalm 77, please. Look at Psalm 77, please. I want you to see this. That, by the way, this is the concentration. This is what we need to concentrate. We got to overcome all the obstacles and focus on the Bible, which is going to point us to him and show us him. By the way, he's in there. They are they that speak of me. Amen. He's in there. Amen. Look at Psalm 77. Look at verse number 12. I will meditate also of all thy what? Work. And talk of thy doings. In Psalm 143, verse number 5, it uses the same terminology, and it talks about meditating on his works. We need to meditate on God's word, which will help us to meditate on God, which will also help us to meditate on God's works. What does that mean? What he did. I need to always be reminded what he did. Why do I need to be reminded what he did? Because what I need him to do. Amen. We're told in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, these things were written for our learning and for our admonition. Amen? The Old Testament. Some people, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. I stay away from the Old Testament. You stay away from a lot of encouragement, that's for sure. We read of what God did. We meditate on what God did. And when we look at our situation, we say, look, he opened the Red Sea. He can do this. That encourages us. Amen? We lose out when we don't meditate on the book. We don't get to know him. We don't get to remind ourselves of all that he did, which can encourage us. Amen. Meditation involves isolation. Meditation involves concentration. Meditation involves perpetuation. What does that mean? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Psalm 1, verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In fact, there's several other scriptures which talk about meditating all day. What does that mean? That means this: get a good concentration and then take it with you and chew on it throughout the day. There's a term that people use when you can do a couple things at one time. Does anybody know the terms? Multitasking. Here's an old one for you. Yeah, I know how to chew gum and walk at the same time. How many people have heard that? Learn how to chew on the word of God while you walk through this life. Enjoy that flavor. That's the flavor that lasts forever. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen? And so listen, we're talking about meditation. It involves isolation. I'll be honest with you. I almost think that isolation's it. Man, we got to get to that place where it's us and the Lord. Amen? Get alone with the Lord. And let me just close with this, and I'm done. Meditation involves isolation. Get alone. Concentration. Get alone for a purpose. Focus on the Lord. Perpetuation. Take it with you. Chew on it. But here's the big key, I think. Meditation involves determination. Determination. If you noticed, and matter of fact, we're right here. Look at Psalm 77. Look at verse number 12. Psalm 77, verse number 12. What's it begin with? I will. In Psalm 119, verse 15, it said this: I will meditate. And let me tell you something. That is what we need. I don't doubt through the message tonight, some of our hearts were stirred to say, you know what? I don't get alone as I ought to, and I'm not focusing as I ought to. And I don't doubt that we're stirred to a degree. But I'll tell you what we need from that stirring is determination. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler. These have allured my sight. I will hasten to him. Amen? I'm going to do it by the grace of God. Listen, we need to do what Daniel did. Purpose in our heart to do it. I promise you, if you wait for it, it's not coming. I'll tell you why. Because I know somebody who won't let it come. The devil's greatest goal. And by the way, that's one of the points that I was going to preach in the series next, is not only we need to study, we need to secure it. Secure it. Because if it ain't nailed down in your heart, the devil's going to steal it. That's what he does. Distract us. In fact, there's been times we've heard things and we've decided things and we got up and we got into conversations and we got things going, and the devil sometimes gets things going to where we forget what we committed to. Amen? May God help us to get back to really giving thought to the Word of God, because I believe that's where our spiritual health is going to come from. Amen? If you eat something and just simply get rid of it quickly, you actually become spiritual bulimic, is it? Ain't that what people do? They eat something, they get rid of it real quick. They eat it, get rid of it, and you actually get sick. Oh, how we need to chew and digest the Word of God. May God help us. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the preacher being able to be here, not only this morning, but even tonight. I pray, dear Lord, as your Spirit leads in the closing hymn and thoughts, I pray that you would just do a work in our hearts. Lord, help me. I preach this truth, but I need it too. Oh, may we find that place of isolation where we can concentrate, Lord, and really get a hold of you and you get a hold of us. Oh, help us to determine and make sure we keep up with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
More about Jesus. Number 482. 482. I hope you will determine. That's the last point there. Determine to do these things. Read God's Word. Oh, I know it's a hard thing sometimes to get that aloneness with the Lord. Yeah, but we need to. The more we learn of Him, boy, the better we're going to be down here on this earth. The more we're going to be looking forward to when we get there. But let us be Bible students of God's Word. Start tomorrow, all right? I could say start tonight. Start tomorrow. Tonight, you know what? Figure out, how am I going to isolate myself tomorrow? I got to get alone. Got to find some place in my house, bedroom, or someplace. And I just need to spend some time in the Word of God and get to know Jesus better. 482. Done for you because it costs a great price. Number